Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you've ever registered a business, whether as an individual or maybe in a previous business partnership that you had with family members, peers, or friends, pay attention, especially if that business might be not operational and is still registered with the CIPC. Now, the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, the CIPC, has initiated a large volume of deregistrations due to continued low compliance with annual returns, beneficial ownership, and other obligations that are deemed under the Companies Act. Certainly, we need to understand who's impacted, how we're impacted, and the reasoning behind this decision. To tell us more, we're joined by Senior Manager at the Companies and Close Corporations at Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, the CIPC. That's Krista Kloko. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Krista. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, and thank you for having us.
Exciting conversation, but also a concerning one. Maybe let's just focus on, levels of compliance that are typically required for anyone who registered an organization with the CIPC. We are aware of the annual returns, but seems as though there's a low level of compliance that we're witnessing there.
Yes, there is definitely a low compliance rate with that type of obligations, but we also have to note that in South Africa, we've got something that's called a survivalist registration tendency. So meaning we as South Africans register businesses in the hope of getting an economic opportunity, while you actually should wait for the economic opportunity before you register your company. So you already start with a high level of dormancy, dormancy meaning that you're not actively trading or using it as a vehicle for business activities or financial economic reasons. So we have from the get-go a high level of non-compliance and dormancy. We have to say that we as the CIPC register over 400,000 companies in a year. And that results in a high level of deregistrations, because we have to take the dormant companies off the registry so that we have a real up-to-date registry of those that are actually active, that we can encourage foreign investment, that business people know with who they're doing business with, and also for government and financial decision making. We need to have an accurate and up-to-date register.
Definitely. I'm hoping we can talk into the numbers a little further of the numbers of the companies that are active at the moment at the CIPC versus those that are dormant and subsequently deregistered. Can you give us, a percentile breakdown in terms of quantifying these figures?
Right, so businesses fluctuate, so we can't really say how many upon registration is active, but what we can say is that we are basically deregistering 800,000 currently at the current moment, that we are planning on final deregistering in the next couple of weeks. But we also have to note that deregistration is not a once-off that we're doing. We did that last year. Last year, we deregistered 1.7 million. The year before that, it was 600,000. So deregistration is actually a continuous thing that we do as the CIPC.
Many might be asking, how is this decision taken? And you mentioned non-compliance, but is this over an extended period of time? What do you use to evaluate when a company should be deregistered?
So as you can imagine, with that type of numbers that we have, it's all done systematically. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the Companies Act, every registered company and close corporation must annually, once a year, file what's called the annual returns. And with that goes beneficial ownership and your financial information to basically say hello, I'm still doing business here. Confirm that your details or the business details are still up to date and correct. And then file. So the Act actually provides for you've got two annual returns that are outstanding. Only then can we put you into deregistration, because we assume that is dormant. So you've basically got two periods, over a 2-year period that you can file or bring it up to date before we actually the system triggers the deregistration.
And as you say, it's not just the deregistration, and people can say, I haven't submitted my annual return, so it's just going to be deregistered and I can forget about it. What is the responsibility or the consequence of this deregistration on the directors of the business who might still be listed?
Yes, of course. The consequence of deregistration, especially if you're doing business and have business activities or holding a property in that company or any other assets, is that once you're finally deregistered, your limited liability, that protection that a company gives its directors and shareholders is no longer there. So it exposes the directors to personal liability for all debts of the company. So they become liable immediately. Because the entity does not exist, the banks will start freezing your bank account because legally it does not exist. So you will not be able to access your funds to pay your staff, pay out bonuses, or any of those things. You will not be able to receive any monies or that your service providers need to pay to you because you do not exist in law. But we have got good news. You can reinstate if you were finally deregistered, but it is a tedious and a costly process. Because you need to provide us evidence that you were in a business at the time of deregistration.
And on the cost, do they fluctuate on the size and scale and maybe profitability of the business?
So are you talking about the fees that have to pay on annual returns? So
no, the cost of actually coming back after deregistration and saying, I'd like to continue and show that I'm still active.
So it's a bit of a process. You need the application itself to reinstate is 200 Rand. But once that is processed, and that excludes all the time and the cost for you to get the evidence that you need to give to the CIPC. Mm-hmm. Once we've placed you back into reinstatement process, you're still not legally back as a company. You still have to file all outstanding annual returns, pay for all of that annual returns, plus all the penalties that goes with it. So if you're a small SME, it starts at 100 Rand per year that you're outstanding. So if you're like 5 years outstanding, that's already 500 Rand. And then all the penalties that accrue over all those years. So 200 Rand plus 5 years of 50 Rand, that's the penalty for a small business with almost no turnover. So yeah, it can be 750 plus to reinstate your company.
What I'm so intrigued by is, I guess let's start off with this particular question. Do we actually find that that's often a trend where companies might not be dormant? They are in business. They might fail to comply with the annual returns. And then they come back to the CIPC every year on a late notice or after a few years and say, hold on.
Yes.
I'd actually like to. Ah, so that's quite prevalent. And how significant are the numbers there?
We don't actually have the numbers for that, but what we do note that they are, especially the older companies, they tend to go into deregistration, finally deregistered, reinstate, and then 5 years later they become non-compliant again. So it can fluctuate depending on the business, how they've set them up. But the big thing is that a lot of people do not provide the CIPC with their correct director's contact details. So we can't issue, they will not receive the notifications that we email and SMS to the active directors as reminders to file your annual returns or, listen, we are now placing you into the deregistration, the process. They don't provide the correct contact details, so we can't reach them.
And you're quite right, because there's ongoing communication that does typically happen between the CIPC and those who are registered. I'm also keen to understand, correct, Krista, what we typically find in South Africa is that one individual can register many, many businesses at the CIPC. Maybe if you can indulge us, if you have those figures with you on average, you know, how many directorships of companies do people typically have? But beyond that, does the impact of a deregistration of one company at the CIPC influence and impact the operations and the registration of any other businesses that they might be directors of?
No. What happens is the Companies Act treat each company individually.
As a juristic person, so, got you.
Yes. So if that juristic person, that individual company becomes non-compliant, it only impacts on that specific company. So if you've got five companies in your structure, if the one is deregistered, it doesn't mean it impacts on the others if they are compliant.
Ah, gotcha.
We don't specifically have statistics as to how many companies persons have. For example, it's difficult to say because you've got people or directors that sit on the boards of your bigger companies. That is their profession, to sit on these audit committees and advisory boards of companies. And for them, they can have many, many clients, for example. You can decide property investment. You want to put in each property in its own individual company, for example. So that therefore, our law doesn't make provision for a limitation to it. But when companies or directors starts coming into trouble and we start investigating and we pick up that they are a full-time director of 50 companies, it does raise questions with the CIPC and our compliance and enforcement sides. And then we'll go ask questions. Are you actually capable to function as a director full-time for so many companies?
That's so true, because that's typically when the red flags should start going off. Because no one has enough time. Running one business is already quite an effort there. Krista, I'm thoroughly enjoying this conversation because it's so critical for entrepreneurs and SMMEs in South Africa, because this is part of the compliance aspect of keeping your business operational. This is how it's easy for one to get onto supplier database of big corporates, even on the government portal.
That's
as well,
correct.
CSD. These are the aspects that are typically checked, right?
That's correct. And for example, we as the CIPC, so we're linked up with SARS and in the Central Supplier Database, and the banks have got real-time access to our data because we are the holders of the data, that valuable information. So when there's a change with the CIPC, immediately we inform SARS, or immediately we'll get notification like, oh, this company is deregistered. Central Supplier Database, the banks will come and check against our registry. The credit bureaus use our data as well.
Krista,
so that information is spread through the economy.
Yes, definitely. And that's actually, as you say, can hinder opportunities for you as an entrepreneur, business owner.
Precisely.
In terms of exposure. Krista, we do have a question from one of our listeners, David, and it appears as though he might be a sole proprietor who's seeking to register with the CIPC and has a key question. Let's listen to David's question.
Can I ask a question for the lady from CIPC? If you are a sole director in a company and there's a requirement when you're filling in uploading the documents that they want, that they need a mandate, mandates usually have to come from someone else authorizing you to do something else. What I wanted to find out is, can I write a mandate for myself because I'm the only director in the company?
Intriguing question, and I think I might have, we're not certain if he's registering a private company or perhaps registering as a sole proprietor, but your response to that, the requirement to write a mandate as a sole director in the organization?
All right. It sounds like he is filing the what we call the beneficial ownership declaration that needs to be up to date before you file your annual returns. So if it's a sole proprietor and you are the primary decision maker, there's no external influencer. You will be then, and especially if you're an extremely small business, you're a non-affected company with no BO then to file because you don't have anybody influencing your business. So there is a process on our website that you just select that options. And then if I remember correctly, but please check the ARC guides on our website. If you go to step-by-step guides for this specific type, non-affected company with no beneficial ownership to declare, there is a process. And if I remember correctly, you don't update a mandate because a mandate gives you is confirmation that you are giving somebody authority in order to submit something on your behalf. But please check the step-by-step guides for that particular category of BO filing. And David, I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. If not, we will reach out to David. But as you've clarified, that's specific to beneficial ownership and not a change in the mandate unless he's actually just starting to register the business with the CIIPC. I am so intrigued because there's so many more questions that are also coming through. We have one more from one of our listeners called Teddy. And Krista, if this indicates anything, we definitely need you back on the show soon to respond to many more questions because we are so intrigued as South Africans. This is a question that we have from one of our listeners, Teddy.
Good evening, Gugu and lady from CIPC. My question as well with regards to CIPC, what is this beneficial ownership clause that they have instilled now, because it's very confusing to me.
Straight to the point there, Teddy. Thank you so much for your question. As you heard there, Krista, maybe let's go into more detail regarding beneficial ownership. What is it? Why is it necessary? How does this change things?
All right. So beneficial ownership is an international best standard. And we never had it on our registry or in as part of our economy, and we had to introduce it as a control mechanism in all our registries as a country. BO, beneficial ownership, is not a CIPC thing. It's a South Africa Inc. matter. So beneficial ownership, in short, this is like my simple way of saying it. It's not the legal definition. It is who wags the dog on a company. In other words, you may be the director or a shareholder, but there is somebody else that influences the administration and the decision making of that company that is not a director or a shareholder. Or it can be a shareholder with a specific percentage of voting rights that mm-hmm. can influence the decision making. So that's basically what it is. We need to know ultimately who controls the company through its structures.
Yes.
And that then goes into the beneficial ownership filing, that we actually know other persons involved in the company structure other than the directors and the shareholders.
And just for that to be clear, when this does get disclosed, because I can imagine many entrepreneurs are listening right now and are thinking, well, how do I disclose this? You know, is this typically the ID document? Do you need details as to how the structure might have changed? Who has a beneficial ownership and influence on the business? In other words, how do we substantiate this and what process do we follow on your website?
All right, so that will depend on whether you're an affected company or a non-affected company.
Mm-hmm.
Your affected companies are your bigger companies, your public companies, those with huge PI score, public interest scores. So they've got different reporting requirements and more information that they need to disclose. So there's no central way that I can tell you what to do, because it will depend on the company's structure and decision making, how many companies there are in the structure, as to how much and what needs to be disclosed. So if you have got questions on beneficial ownership, if you go to our YouTube channel, CIPC the CIPC on YouTube, mm-hmm. there's actually videos that explains beneficial ownership, how the documentation works, how to submit, and explains it in much more detail. So unfortunately, it's not a clear-cut answer. And Anna, Teddy, I agree with you. It can be very confusing for people to do it the first time. It's a totally new requirement in our economy. So we all have to learn about this as we're going forward. But please refer to our YouTube channel, and search for the beneficial ownership webinars. It will explain everything to you. There's step-by-step guides mm-hmm. also on our website, www.cipc.co.za. At the bottom little bar, green bar, go to step-by-step guides, beneficial ownership. So there's a guide that tells you, okay, think about this. What is your first answer to your first question? So it takes you through questions that you can ask yourself as the business owner to help you define what is the beneficial ownership, if there are any, that's not the director or the shareholder directly.
100% got you on that one there, Krista. We are squeezing in one more voice note. Our listeners clearly have a lot of questions for you here, Krista. Here's one from Jennifer.
Hi, Gugu, and your guest from the CIPC. I just wanted to find out, how do I get deregistered as a director of a company? My brother registered a company and he added my name as a director, and I've been trying to get off this company for I don't know how many years, but I'm just not winning. What is the process? I've sent through documents, but I just always hit a standstill.
Great question there, Jennifer. Your response, Krista, deregistration as a director of an entity.
Deregistration has got to do with the status of the company itself. So you're either active in deregistration, in business rescue, liquidation, or final deregistered. So that's the status of deregistered is assigned to the entity itself. So when it comes to directors, we've got different statuses. You can either be disqualified, meaning a court order told you you are not equipped or equipped to be a director because you don't know what you're doing, and then you are disqualified. So on directorships, you will have to get yourself removed. But Jenny, the thing is that the company itself needs to file the documentation with the CIPC. So in theory, you need to submit your letter of resignation to the company, I'm not sure how many other directors there are, yes, other than your brother and yourself. They have to accept your resignation, and then the company has to file the information with the CIPC. So that's the process that that it has to follow. It seems to me, Jenny, you're trying to get yourself removed directly outside of the company structure upon which you are appointed. So what you can do is you can lodge a complaint. So the Companies Act makes provision for when there's non-compliance with the Companies Act, you can lodge a formal complaint of non-compliance by the company with a CIPC. It's called a COR 135.1. Mm-hmm. So if you go to our website, I can't now remember the email address off by heart.
I'm on it.
So if you go to our general information where all our mailboxes are listed, you search for call 135.1. You fill out the form and you provide evidence that this company for which your brother is still a director, that you've submitted your resignation, they're not moving on it, in order to contact the company and say, listen, you are in non-compliance because you're not accepting the resignation or updating the company's registry. So I think your best bet is to call 135.1 to file that with the CIPC with evidence that your brother or the company doesn't want to remove you, and see how that can be done. Otherwise, submit your resignation if you have not done so already, to follow the normal process.
Gotcha. But and again, if you buy in from the other
Jenny, if you've got, yes,
yeah.
So I just quickly want to refer to if she needs further assistance on how to get that done on our website www.cipc.co.za. There is a button called Inquiries. So if you click on it, it's going to open up a notice with a whole list of email addresses for inquiries. Go for director amendments and then just send your further inquiries to the indicated email address under that director amendments option for further assistance.
100%. Got you. Krista, this has been such a phenomenal interview. We've actually gone over to make sure that we answer so many questions, but just shows you that there are many South Africans who want to be entrepreneurial. Sometimes they succeed. Sometimes they're still building the processes up. And sometimes life gets busy and we do generally forget to make sure that we comply. But ultimately, it's a very important aspect of running our businesses. We're looking forward to having you back here soon on Kaya Biz, Krista. There's a lot of themes that we can certainly discuss, but thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much, everybody. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. That's Krista Kloko, who is the Senior Manager for Companies and Closed Corporations at the CIPC, the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.